Thank you. I'm so nervous. So there will be some need for participation tonight. Are you going to be able to help me out? Okay, awesome. Because that participation starts now. What I would love for y'all to do, we're going to take 2 minutes. And what I want you to do is get out of your seat and find someone that you don't really know. Maybe you've just seen them, said hi to them. Maybe you don't even know their name. And I want you to spend some time talking with each other and learn something new about that person. All right? You ready? Let's go. All right. Thanks for that participation. Hey, did y'all learn something new about the other person?
Yes.
Could I have a couple people that want to share, maybe? Anybody want to share? Landis, who did you meet?
She has 7 brothers and sisters. She's the youngest. That's my new friend. She goes to Grace Point. Like Lisa, that's Lisa. Lisa, she has 7 brothers and sisters. She's the youngest.
Okay, Landis met Lisa. And Lisa has 7 kids. Seven siblings, and she's the youngest one. Actually, I didn't know that. Gianna?
I met Jessica, and she is pregnant with her first baby.
Yeah. All right, Jessica. That's awesome. Anybody else want to share? Pastor Jack.
His name's Rigo, and I got to meet him. And him and me are friends, and this is his 3rd time here. So welcome, Rigo.
Woohoo! I love it. One more hand up. I saw it. Dottie.
I met Miss Linda, and I found out she's been coming here for 8 years, and I never even met her, and I've been coming for 3 or 4 years.
That's awesome. I love it. Thank you all for participating. How did it make you feel when you were being asked those questions?
Awesome.
You liked it? Good. You made a connection. That's great. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Well, again, thank you for participating in that little icebreaker. Tonight what I'll be sharing, it's called One Another in Community. I know Pastor prayed, and I thank him very much, but I'm going to do a little prayer to help me calm my nerves. So if you guys can just bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your unfailing love, Lord. Tonight, as we gather in your name, let us just glorify you tonight. Holy Spirit, pour into me what you want me to say. Be with me in every moment. Help me with my words being very clear and calm my nerves. Remove any distractions. Give me courage and boldness. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for our hearts to be open, our minds to be open, and that we hear what you want to teach us about you in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So the goal tonight is to hopefully challenge ourselves to discuss, assess, and influence our communities. Why? Because there's an urgency to bring Christ in every part of our world. And to do this, we must do our part, and our part is our communities. Just like a plant, we must bloom where we are planted. A plant uses the soil in which it finds itself to grow and bear fruit, and so much must each of us. So let's define community first. So the dictionary definition is a group of people living together in one place, especially practicing common ownership. And it's also defined as a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Another way of describing community is wherever you are at a given time, wherever you are, whoever you are with, whatever you are doing, that is your community. So do we have more than one community? Would you call Grace Point, all of us attending Grace Point, a community? Awesome, cool. So let's see what the Bible says about our church community. You know, we as believers form the body with Christ as the head. We are members of one another. Romans 12:5 says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So again, we all have a part, a responsibility in growing and influencing our church community. An inspiring description of what that looks like is found in Acts 2:42-47. I don't have that scripture on the screen, but if you have your Bibles or your Bible app and you want to read along with me, that would be awesome. But this is the scriptures. "They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who are being saved." Wow, that is truly a church community. When we think about that description, and then we think about how do we grow our devotion, our connection and influence in our church community, we must first have a deep connection with the Lord. We must always seek him and know him, gaining wisdom from the word. We can't grow our devotion, our connection, or influence our church community if we don't have connection with God, knowing who he is and obeying him. We deepen our connection through prayer, study, and obedience. His word shows us many ways to connect and influence our church community. I was part of a women's Christian ministry who was serving at a women's weekend for revitalizing these women's walk with Christ. And during a training meeting, our spiritual director was encouraging us to build unity as we were over 100, a team of 100 from all different churches. And so the spiritual director gave us a homework assignment for the next meeting. He asked us to look up all the one another's in the Bible. Has anyone ever done that activity? It's so cool. You got to do it. And that's a lot about what we're going to talk about here. So the one another phrase is derived from the Greek word allelon. I kept doing that, you know, how do you pronounce it, over and over, saying it out loud, still didn't say it right. So this word means one another, each other, mutually, and reciprocally. It signifies an action between two or more people or things. Did you know that there was over 100 verses of one another in the Bible? And of those 100 are about 59 commands in the New Testament. These one another command scriptures teach us how to and how not to relate to each other. And obedience of these is imperative. These one another scriptures form the basis for all true Christian community. They reflect the love of Christ in our actions. So we're going to go ahead and go over all 59 of those commands. No? Okay. All right. We're going to go over 8 of them. As we read these eight, I want us to think about and think through an example where we've seen this action, we've seen this one another in our church. So as I read one, I'll ask you if you have any examples. If I hear crickets, I got a couple backups that I can share, but hopefully we'll be able to have more participation on this. So the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing." So does anybody have an example of how or what we see here at church about encouraging others and building each other up? Adria?
Well, I've felt this before, like going up to the altar to pray and then just not even realizing it. But then at the end, there's many hands touching you and you weren't expecting it. It just kind of felt like being encouraged and built up.
And I think I saw Miss Karen.
Yeah, I've been here about a year, and I lost my job about 6 months ago, and the prayer and the support that I got from everybody here has just really been so encouraging, and it's really built me up, and I thank everybody for that.
Awesome. Great examples. You know, I had another one. I was looking for him, and I didn't know where Mike is. There he is. Mike's in the back. You know, just something as simple as welcoming every single person into the door. This brother Mike is here every church night, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday. Doesn't matter if he's on that serve schedule or not, he's always greeting and welcoming. And that's encouraging. That was one of the most important things to me in deciding what church to go to, was how I felt when I was walking in the door. Did somebody see me? And Mike just has that great way of doing that. There's so many people on the welcome team, and that's definitely an example also as with this verse and encouraging one another. Excuse me. Okay, the next verse is Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Anybody have an example on this one? About humble, gentle, patient. Yes, Miss Pat. I didn't get my steps in, so this is good.
Okay. As I tell y'all this, I'm going to hold on to Lisa. She has taught me to be humble because she helps me as a friend, even though I'm old enough to be her mother. So she's always patient with me, and I love her to death.
Amen. That's beautiful. Anyone else? Yes.
People around here, even if they're not rooting for the right football team, they're still loving and caring and give hugs.
Awesome. That's great. Oh, I saw one more hand up. Did you have your hand up, Olivia? No? Shanice?
When I first walked into the church, I was on Sunday, and Pastor Shelley and Angelica is what showed me love. And then after that, like, this was home. Like, I felt loved, and people are patient and understanding and willing to help you out and help one another.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, this verse, you know, has bearing with one another in love. And when you think about that last part, bearing, you know, that indicates that even when it's challenging, we need to make sure that we're actively supporting others. And so even when it's hard, we have to be humble and gentle and patient with one another. We'll go to the next one. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And here, you know, devoted is about dedicated, loyal, committed, and honor is about respect, appreciation, making someone more important than yourself. Any examples in here that you want to share?
I think one of the really good examples we have is in the CR small groups, how the confidentiality, how everybody keeps it secret, people honor each other when deep things are shared in there, but it doesn't leave the room. So that's really a good deal for us to have.
So those of you that don't know, share groups in Celebrate Recovery are gender-specific groups that they just get to talk about their hurts, habits, and hang-ups in a safe, confidential way.
When I look at that verse, and the first thing I thought about when I saw devoted is Pastor Jack. I feel like he's really devoted to his role here in the church and to everybody here. And so that's what I thought of.
Yes. That's awesome. You know, the one I had in here, two in here, and I have to do it because there's two people in here that remind me of this. So I also think about this verse around someone who wants others to experience belonging and inclusion and takes time to connect with every person and that is Dante. I see that so much in him. And there's so many others too. I guess just because we serve together so closely, I see it all the time. And he asks me, how's it going all the time? So another person here around, same kind of thing. Like, they're devoted to making sure that people feel celebrated. And I don't know if you know this, but Lisa Woods sends out birthday cards to people's homes. And it was such a cool thing. I mean, who does that anymore? I usually get a text, right? And it's just the time that she took and what she wrote in there and sent it to me and others. I just think it's awesome. It's really showing her devotion to one another. So, okay, let's go to Colossians 3:13. So bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'll just go ahead and share an example. You know, I had, as the Next Steps coordinator, I was supposed to, somebody asked me to do something and get them on a schedule, and I didn't do it. They had to ask me twice, and felt really bad about it. I just got ahead of myself, and, you know, for whatever reason, I felt bad. But they forgave me, and they could have held a grudge. They could have went to someone else. They could have, however you wanted to look at it in a different way, but they forgave me. So when you think about bearing with each other and forgive one another and about grievance, it doesn't have to be like a knocked out, dragged out like situation. But we still need to make sure that we're forgiving the small things and also the big things, especially in our church committee. And then Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We use that word, serve one another. That probably brings up a bunch of them. But anybody have any that they want to share? An example of how we serve one another here at church? Servolution, great. Serve with the babies, that's right. Yeah, all the dream team, absolutely. Hospitality team, you know, that serves and cooks. You know, I even think about those that are free of addiction. They're overcomers, and they've overcome that hurt and habit and hang up, and they're not just gaining that freedom and going and doing their thing. They're coming back and helping serve at Celebrate Recovery to help others heal and get their freedom as well. So another example. Now, in these one another's, there is a few one another's showing us what we don't want to do, who we don't want to be. And so this is one of them. So in James 5:9, it says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Whew. Any examples on this? Might be kind of tricky because everybody's all like, I'm not doing that. Well, I'll admit, this is one that I have to catch myself a little bit. I get into this like work mode, and I have my way of doing things, and then someone does something, and it's perfectly fine. It actually works out better often, but it's not my way, and so I'm judging them a little bit. Like, why did you do that? And God's so good, because the Holy Spirit's just like, Andrea. So I'm getting better and better at that. But I have to tell you that it happens. And so just think about that one. You know, when we think about the grumbling against one another. Landis?
I think a really good example is when Pastor Wooten stepped down and Pastor Jack came in. It was so much gossip and inner turmoil with one another. But in the end, the church stood on its own. And the people that wanted to leave left, and the people that wanted to stay, stay. And I think that God turned what the devil meant for bad into good. So, yeah.
That's good. Thank you. And Patricia?
I think sometimes we forget what the other person's going through. And God has to remind us, hey, don't be judging the other person because maybe they're going through something that you don't understand. And, you know, you don't want me to judge you like you're judging them. And we have to stop and think, why am I judging this person? Would I want God to judge me this harshly as I'm judging this other person? This other person could be, you know, even, and I deal with this like with road rage because I get upset. And I'm like, they may be going to the ER, you know, someone may be dying and they may be saying their last goodbyes or whatever. And here I am like trying to, you know, brake check them or something. Lord, forgive me. Anyways, I don't do that, Frank. I'm sorry.
It's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, you just, man, we're not the judge, right? And we don't know what's going on. And I don't want people judging me. And I think this one, it can be hard. Because judge seems really harsh. Grumble, still the same. So in a church community, in any community, just with people, let's not grumble against one another. The last two we have is James 5:16, and that's confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We got tons of examples of that, right? Oh, Adrian wants to talk about one. Okay.
Back to the CR. When you go in through step studies, and then it's like, a small group of the same gender that you are, and you go through the healing intense steps of being healed and learning, and you gain sisters or brothers for life, and I would be lost without mine. And I love that whenever I'm having a hard day, I can ask for prayers, and I always have that little group chat.
Yeah, it's, yes. I'm glad that people are participating. I thought I'd have to fill in here. I don't.
I was raised in a Baptist church, and of course we prayed, but I've learned more about prayer, being genuine with prayer, since I came to this church, and especially Trace Diaz, when I learned there was two women that I had no idea who they were that had been praying for me for a long time. And I find that to be a real blessing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the two things here, you know, with confess, people, sometimes we read this and we're like, confess your sins, like I confess that to God, but when you admit to your sins to others, or your shortcomings, or your failures, and you're talking out with somebody, that's really healing. God's forgiving, and that act of being able to, both as the person that's listening, but then also the person that is admitting their faults and their failures or their sins, that's healing, beginning of healing. In prayer, you probably could do a whole, many talks on and teachings on prayer, but I think, you know, here, I just think it's amazing with Grace Point, like you'll get people that just come up to you and they're just like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, what? I so needed somebody to. I mean, I wasn't saying it. It was in my heart, but they just knew it. First couple months being here, I had Patsy. I don't know if you know, you all know who Patsy is. She serves on the coffee team. I didn't know her. I wasn't serving. I was sitting, I wasn't even in the front row. I was sitting like three rows back. And I was having a hard time. And she just came up to me. She's like this to me, and she just puts her arm around my waist and says, you know, I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through, but the Holy Spirit just told me to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And I'm all like, whoa. And you get that all the time here. You also get our pastors and our staff taking every single one of those prayer requests and praying, reaching out to those people. You have, you know, obviously, you know, we have first Sunday prayer where, you know, we're constantly praying about So many things. It's just the individual and as a community, I think, this verse is so strong. And I think we are a church of prayer, for sure. And I'll end the one another verses, the scriptures, with John 13:34, of course. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." So God's word shows us how to be in a community with one another. We read how we should not grumble or judge, and we should encourage and be humble and gentle, be patient, devoted, honor one another, serve, confess, pray, all, and above all, love. Love one another. And when you think, as you went through these scriptures, did any of those like inspire you? Just raise your hand. Any inspire you or motivate you to go, okay, good. All right. I'm thinking something happened here. No. And it did to me. When I went through the first time and I looked at all 59 scriptures, it was crazy. And there's definitely some themes there. And I just got really inspired on a couple things. But even putting together these eight, I thought about how I love to serve. And so it just inspired me and encouraged me that that's a command. And and how cool is it that, God wants us to do something like serving. And I love serving. So I love what I do. But I also know I need to be better at not grumbling, because I can struggle with that sometimes. I struggle because of the control pieces I have issues with. And I need to be more patient, and I need to be more confident in praying out loud for others. So we all have room to grow in one or more of these one another's. And I hope that you've at least internally thought about it and said, okay, there's an area here that I might be able to deep dive into. And if not, you'll get some more time at the end today. These one another's, they are a call to action. When I think about this call to action, I think about when Jesus teaches the disciples about serving in Matthew 20. James and John's mom goes and asks Jesus to grant her sons to sit on the left and the right of him on the throne. And the other disciples are like, what? What just happened? And they're pretty upset because they all want to be the greatest. And then Jesus responds, stating, reminding them, the rulers of the Gentiles and their high officials exercise authority over them. Like, there's these rules, and that's why they're at this higher position, and all their heart is doing is just exercising authority over them. And then Jesus says in verses 26, 28, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This call to action is about serving others. It's about having a servant's heart. We see these one another's and the actions of serving others in different ways, and we shared some of those examples when we reviewed the eight scriptures. And there's so many ways to connect and serve with people, and I'll throw a couple more out here that we didn't share in those verses, but some more ways to connect and serve. So just don't pass by someone, say hi. Use that exercise that we did this at the beginning to connect with someone and just ask them, a question and learn something about them. Do that every day. Every time that you're, just challenge yourself to connect with somebody new or know someone just a little bit more. You could sit next to someone at service. You could come to prayer night. I said that on First Sundays. And of course, continue to pray for others. Ask others if they need prayer. Add them to your prayer list. You could start a Bible study. You could host a gathering or go to one. Some of you know this story, but I had bought my home, my very first home, 2 years ago at 53. Such a big deal for me. It's a whole other story. The house is bigger than I needed. And I've always loved hosting. So I started praying to God to show me what to do with that, what to do with this love for hosting and this big house, because I really wanted to use it for God, you know. And he revealed to me the gift of hospitality. And I began to study what hospitality meant biblically, and just asking him, okay, like, how do I use this? And then over a year ago, I felt this nudge. It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, telling me, like, open up your house, girl. Open up your house for women and gather in my name. Have prayer and worship and food and fellowship. And I'm like, okay, yes, God. And the first time I was putting this, you know, inviting people, and I'm all like, I don't know what I'm doing here. So like, hey, Miss Linda, can you come? Because I know that you're a prayer warrior and you're way more into scripture than I am. And Marisol, can you come and be a prayer warrior, please? And Patricia. And Kelly, can you come lead? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And it was just so amazing, God's work, because we just ended up having, this wasn't about hosting a gathering. It wasn't just that. It was about women supporting women, connecting, serving one another. And we grew together. We are growing together to the point where now we have a different person every Saturday of the month that we have this. A different woman is leading it. Some that have never done it before, have never led before. Some that are new Christians, some that are much more spiritually mature. And I just think that, you know, obeying God and understanding what we need to be doing for one another in our community is so, so important. And it's obedience. And it's just been an amazing example of, you know, those one another commands. You know, you could also just make sure you give someone a call during the week, and not just, you know, as we see them on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays at church. Of course, coming to First Wednesdays for fellowship with food and the word. And I can't, you know, that's why I'm up here. I can't, like, not talk about connect groups. So we'll have those connect groups starting in the fall. It's such an awesome way to connect. We've got, And we've got the men's group, the women's group, the marriage group. We've got CR, the seniors group, and we've got young adults. So there's a place for everybody. And it's just going to be a powerful experience in how we continue to one another in so many things and really grow as disciples. And I also can't not say the dream team. So every one of you has a talent. Everyone has a place on the dream team. So if you're not part of the dream team and you want to serve, get plugged in and join Growth Track. And then, of course, Adria said it, but I'm going to say it again. Another way to connect and serve is Servolution. Yeah, one of the best times of the year. We have projects to sign up for July, and then August we have that whole week starting the 10th, August 10th. And that could even be like maybe you're getting nudged. Maybe you have this awesome idea that you want to lead a certain project. And you could do that too. So many great ways to connect and serve and really create action out of those one another's. And 1 Peter 4:10 says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So what is your gift? How can you use it to connect and serve your communities? How can you multiply it? Might be something that you're doing right now. So how do you do more? How do you teach others that way? Maybe it's something that showed up on the 8 scriptures and you're like, I need to do more of that. How do I do that? Or, oh, I have this great idea. Because we all have talents. Remember, we're all part of one body. Now, earlier I asked you about community, and do we have more than one community? We've been focused on understanding how to grow and influence our church community. So let me not leave out what we are all called to do, sharing Jesus to others that do not know him. We can do this best by being an example of those one another commands outside our church community. Being an example is about the light of Christ shining through us. We can show that our life as a believer who lives in grace brings hope, joy, and is possible for everyone. Because Christ is in you, you just show up and love one another. You know, when Jesus was teaching about the salt and light, he talked about how people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl, that instead they put it on its stand, and how we are the light of the world. Then he says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't shut off your light when you're outside of this bubble, our church community. We've got to be willing to invest in people who don't know Christ. In communities outside of the church, and we may meet people who love and support us, people who have needs and make demands upon us, people who are grumbling and complaining, people whose lifestyles, values, and cultures and faith may differ than us from ours. We need to make an effort to try to understand them. We need to know them. What are their stories? What are their goals? We need to know who are the believers, the doubters, the seekers, and the skeptics. By understanding them, we can often find common ground, which is important to those you wish to influence. I have a friend who's a passionate believer and a delivery driver. He'll always ask the person he's delivering to, anybody that he's connecting with. I think he picks up at airports nowadays, so he's talking to everybody. And he asks if they are a believer, asks what their story is, and shares his story about what God has done in his life. I call it box truck ministry. It's Landis. Box trucks ministry. You know, it's bold, and it works for him. And I'm not yet that bold or straightforward, but I am working on meeting where others are at. I work in the corporate world, and my boss has shared with me that he isn't a religious person, his words, and I've shared pieces of my story about what God has done in my life. One day we wrapped up a call, and I helped him prepare a presentation where we were asking for an unbudgeted headcount on my team. I remember getting off the phone with him and praying for this blessing. 1 hour later, about that, my boss called me and he told me that we were approved to add an additional manager to my team. I said yes, and I prayed for this blessing right after I got off the phone. And my boss says, I don't know if there's a God, but he believes in the universe, he says. And it aligned with our headcount today, our headcount ask today. So he says, yes, I believe in the universe, and it aligned with our headcount today. And I then responded, yes, and that's God. I continue to gently and authentically find moments to glorify God and share what he's done in my life with others like my boss, finding common ground to influence. You know, I shared also earlier that when we were reviewing some of the one another scriptures, that I want to grow in patience. We'll meet many different people in our communities. Some will be easy to befriend and lead to Christ. Others might not know God. Some don't want to know God. And some might feel like they don't need to know God. There are many hurting and needy people in our communities at different places in their lives. And changes in us and others take time. It takes patience. And I have a friend that I've known for 25 years. We were best friends for a long time, and when I recommitted my life to Christ, she called me a Jesus freak. Like, that's a bad thing. But she wanted it to be a bad thing. It was definitely a dig. And she does not feel like she needs to know God. And even though we aren't as close anymore, we still stay connected. She's beginning to take interest in my walk with God and doesn't make fun of my new life. With patience, along with prayer, I'm hopeful she will come to know Jesus. When you think about communities, in addition to your church community, where can, what are other examples where you can, so let me repeat that. I'll just read what I wrote instead of. When you think about communities, in addition to your church community, where you can be examples of those one another commands, so what comes to mind? So what are other types of communities? Yes. Work?
Immediately thought about family.
Family, yeah, for sure, family. Neighborhood. School. Going to the grocery store, I had that one down too. What about, you know, DoorDash delivery drivers? Is that just me? That's my community. Anybody else?
What?
Social communities, yeah. Yep, that's awesome. Yeah, so when you think about those different types of communities, you know, what are some examples that you think of that you've done or seen done in some of those communities to be an example of those one another's? Yeah, Jessica.
Hi. I used to be part of a group called Lead Texas, and every Wednesday we would go to an after-school program with school-aged children in like a government-assisted community, like whatever. And there was a little girl that I was working with consistently every Wednesday, who was, I think, maybe in like second or third grade. And I ended up leading her to Jesus, and so she like got saved, and then she went home to her family. And then when I came back from break, she had like told her mom that she got saved, and then they all like started going to church and they all got saved. And so I just thought that was like a good example, because
that's a great example. I've got Frank back here getting my steps in.
I don't know how much everybody knows about Uber and Lyft, but I drive, have been driving for almost 10 years part-time to supplement my Social Security, and I have literally came across a situation where three or four police officers had a person that had called me, and they literally allowed him to go with me instead of taking him to jail. And I was able to spend a couple hours with him,
and you were just
trying to encourage
him.
I'm primarily only drive, but I take the church app things and the what's the orange one? Yeah, the orange paper has got the app on it so that you can watch people talking and listening to different groups and stuff. I should know the name of it. But we pay for it for people. And I try to encourage people. There's a lot of times, especially on the basic rides, that you go to pick somebody up and you can tell they're upset. And, hey, how's your day going? Oh, my husband. Oh, my wife. Oh, you know. And they share with you, and then you have a chance to talk to them and give examples of how the Holy Spirit's moved with you and that kind of thing. It's really good for me to be involved in that.
That's great. So just through being a driver for Uber, he is connecting and serving his community to the point where a man had called him and needed him. That's amazing. Any other examples? Yeah.
I do volunteer work for Suicide and Crisis Center of North Texas, and it's non-denominational. However, sometimes you can put little innuendos out there. And I have prayed on the line a lot with people. And people, I had a lady, it's been a few months back, that said, I had forgotten about God. I'm so glad you talked to me tonight.
Wow, powerful. You know, when I think about, yeah, that's amazing. I am, I don't have a lot of those examples. I think I'm more of a subtler person. I got to work on that. But I think about just, you know, again, we're talking about like just shining the light, right? Let people know that you love others. And all those scriptures that we talked about, like there's a way to do that in so many different ways. And so even, like I had like a bunch of groceries and I let a guy behind me that had a couple things go in front of me. And they're like, really? Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Or, you know, paid for someone that that they, you know, they had not enough money to pay for their meal that they were having, and so I did that. Or, look, I don't want to let everybody ahead of me on the highway, but I do, because there's so many people that don't do that, right? There's like a lot of rage there, so let's just be nice. Let me be nice. Let me be gentle. Let me be patient. So there's so many ways to show that you're show those examples of one another's. And so just think through that too, like as you're outside the church community into your other communities, like what can we do differently to be that light, to be what God commands us in terms of loving one another. So as we wrap up this part, hopefully you are all challenged in some way to discover, assess, and influence our communities. Why? Because there's an urgency to bring Christ in every part of the world. And to do this, we must do our part, and our part of the world is our communities. We must continually seek God, know Him, and have His word written in our hearts. We must continually to grow one another in the communities where we are planted on. Or planted in. Oh my gosh, we don't have that much time. I had so many other... Okay, that's it. So there's... One of the things that we were going to do was... Because I really thought... You guys were awesome. You helped me so much with all this participation. We were going to do some deep dive into some of the other one another's and do some the Bible study method SOAP. How many of you guys have heard of SOAP? A few of you. It's a great way to study the Bible. So I'm going to walk through it and give you resources, and then we'll wrap up. So SOAP is, you know, a Bible study method. We'll use the acronym. S is for scripture, so you would physically write out or write down the scripture, and you would just be amazed at what God would reveal to you just by taking the time to slow down and actually write what you're reading. And then O is for observation, so what do you see in the verses that you're reading? Who is the audience? Is there a repetition in words? What stands out to you? And then A, this is the best part. It's all good, but I love this part. Is application. So this is when God's word becomes personal. So what's God saying to me today? How can I apply what I just read to my own personal life? What changes do I need to make? Is there an action that I need to take? And then prayer. So you'd pray God's word back to Him. If He has revealed something to you during that time in His word, then pray about it. Confess if He has revealed some sin that's in your life. So this, and again, this is just a great great way to study. It's a great way to meditate more on the word. And what I have here are some just copies of the SOAP. And then I have a longer list of the one another passages. They're not all 59 of them, but there's about 30 some there, which are really great, y'all. And it gives you kind of the key words, and so you'd have to definitely use your Bible to dig into it. That's it. Thanks, y'all.